Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Pocket Rocket Podcast. It has been a hot minute since we've been on the podcast recording, and that is my bad because I've been in prep with someone who is actually joining me today for recording. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Hannah.
So for those of you that don't know, if you've been living under a rock, Jake is my coach. He is the founder and lead coach of Amplified Nutrition. And obviously, with the topic of Mastermind the Professionals being about coaches and who I believe are the best coaches in the industry in the UK, had to have my coach on here as well. And I thought it'd be the perfect end of the season after I've just gone and smashed three shows out of the park with this man behind the wheel. So,
are we going to go with save the best till last, or am I just the last one that's left?
No, best till last always. So thank you for joining me, Jake. I know you're super, super busy. So yeah, I appreciate you jumping on this podcast with me tonight. So to start off in the same way as we have with every other top coach, we're going to do a little bit of a bio about you. So your age, your location, your duration as a coach, and your record of placings.
Cool. Am I allowed to lie about my age?
Absolutely not.
Oh, damn it. So I'm 31, but hopefully anyone that does listen, that does know me, will be massively surprised by that. Like, you don't look a day over 25. Although actually this weekend, I think you actually basically said that I'm older than my age, which I did take offence to, for the record.
What I said was you look older than 31 and I look younger than 31, but we're the same age.
And basically, you said I look older than my age is what you're saying.
So location.
And you also said that your mum said this as well. So we need to pick that up with your mum after for the record as well. that was probably apart from your success this weekend, that was probably my second takeaway from this weekend. So yeah.
My bad on that one.
And also that you're a good cook because you did prep all my food this weekend. So
there we go. Swings and roundabouts. It's good and bad with me.
Two-way relationship, right?
Yeah.
Okay, no, jokes aside. So yeah, 31. Obviously, my business is Amplified Nutrition, as I'm sure most of the people that follow you will know that anyway. But so in terms of next question, location. So located in Brighton, just down the road from you, so South Coast. In terms of placing, how long have I been up and running? So I think we hit our 3-year anniversary for AMP this year. And you have been, well, you've pretty much been with me from the start.
I've been with you since before
we even made AMP. So, I mean, so Amplified Nutrition has been running for 3 years, but have been coaching probably for 5 years. First 2 years, kind of, should we say, dabbling a little bit, as you'll know from when, as you say, you're just one of the first ones. So, probably competitively, kind of season wise, I'd probably say 2 years really. I think the first year I just had yourself and Big Nick, shall we say, in the first season. So I kind of wouldn't really say that was kind of a competitive season to kind of take too much from. So probably kind of 2 years this season, COVID season, and just a little bit kind of before that. So I think actually you made it 60 placings for me this weekend. So a nice rounded figure, which is a like madness when I even sit here just talking about it. Like it kind of gives me the butterflies as I'm talking, because I still kind of can't really believe that it's turned into this. Like I kind of initially started coaching just because, you know, I kind of had a passion for it and wanted to do it and have a passion for helping people, which is mainly why I do what I do. And never really expected to kind of get into the realms of competition prep. You know, I kind of helped Nick originally, and then obviously you came along, and you know we never planned to compete when we first spoke, did we? Like, no. It was just kind of helping you with your diet, and then I'd kind of tested the waters a little bit, didn't I, about competing? And I know we spoke about it this weekend.
Yeah.
And well, from that point we've never really looked back. It's just been more and more, and probably for me as well, you know, the more and more you've got into it, the more I've started to obviously start to prep people, and you know, as the years have gone on, I've had more and more people to compete with me. So yeah, so back to the question, 60 placings. I think I actually tallied up today, I think 28 for this season.
Wow.
Which is, it still blows my mind, as I say. And actually, just to kind of put that into perspective, I'm not just going to sit here to try and blow my own trumpet, well, maybe a little bit. but I think out of, you know, that's not 60 plate, that's 60 placings out of about, I think probably it's no more than 70 shows. potentially even less than that, which obviously shows a very good percentage for obviously placings and what I put on stage. You know yourself from conversations we've had that I don't really put anyone on stage unless I really feel that they're ready. And that shows in my placings. So 60 placings, I think, 28 for this year so far, which, is madness. So that's the bio, which I like to think is pretty good, actually.
It's a pretty sick bio, I'll give you that. I always think, like, when you hear someone's placings, record of placings, you need to consider as well, like you say, well, how many shows have they had athletes enter versus what their conversion rate is for that? Because I think people can brag and say, oh, I've had hundreds of placings. But if you've had thousands of competitors.
Yeah, it's not so good.
Yeah, but it's all about how the salesman spin you put on things, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like to think that I don't even need to kind of do that sales pitch, because I like to think that my record speaks for itself. And I know we spoke about yours. You know, we've never done a show together and not placed.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it will, I think, again, I said this to you, like, what I'm starting to notice with you especially is we're consistent. You know, and I'm not going to go into names and stuff, but like a year ago we were seeing gals in bikini that were, you know, getting great placings at the British in the through COVID and at the Ben, that were kind of gals that would have been tipped to get their pro cards and stuff. And, you know, we're seeing them this year kind of not necessarily do as well. But one thing that we're really seeing with you is that actually we're consistently getting placings, which the way I look at that is not only kind of showing that we're making progress, but it's actually showing that kind of my view on the class and the criteria and what we're trying to aim for, you know, we're still nailing.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah.
We haven't made any drastic changes. We've just improved upon the areas that needed a little bringing up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, what I think's quite good and amazing, I know this isn't all about you, but just as an example, you know, we went from getting second in a PCA show last weekend to doing an international two-row show where the criteria is completely different. And we've managed to adjust what we need to get exactly the same outcome.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it shows that we make a great team as well.
We do indeed. And there's no bias here. It could be any category. But what is your favourite category, competitive category, and why?
Oh, that is a tough question. I guess, so my record shows that I obviously love bikini, by the sound of it, because most of my competitors are bikini. You know, I would have to, not just because it's my class, but definitely my favorite class will always be bodybuilding. And I guess that's because that's my passion. And I would absolutely, for any guys listening, I would absolutely love to have more bodybuilders to prep on my team, because I've got a small amount and those that I have prepped have done really well. But definitely bodybuilding is kind of my favorite, shall we say. I'm starting to kind of, I'm interested to see what your face does when I say this, but I'm starting to favour men's physique as well, a little bit as well. And just the reason for that, to be honest with you, I just like the look. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a fan of men's physique guys that don't train legs, mm-hmm. as we know. But there is some guys out there who do work hard and train legs, but actually they're just more fitted for men's physique.
Yeah.
And I like that look, you know, it's appealing, you know, and I think
it's very easy on the eye. It's attractive.
Absolutely. And you're starting to see a lot of these guys now actually coming through that are more muscular, and the physique is kind of moving like to bodybuilding. Like, you know, you've got these guys that are competing in men's physique that could quite easily go and do bodybuilding. You know, they've got the look for it, but actually, you know, they're choosing to do men's physique because actually, you know, they've got the look for it. They're good looking guys. You know, and they've got that smile and they've got that presence on stage. And I've got next year I'll have four men's physique boys. And again, all have all placed in previous shows. But the more and more I'm kind of starting to see these guys come through, you know, I'm loving it. So, you know, I don't want that to sound like I'm favouring the men's side at all. That sounds really sexist, because it's not.
No, it doesn't at all. It's just what you enjoy
and
what you like to watch. Like when you go to a show, we all have a category that we look forward to watching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I look forward to, I like watching all of it. You know, from a, I do like bikini. It's not, you know, it's not something I don't like, but I find that what's really, really difficult with bikini is you think one week kind of people you would expect to win them, and the next week they don't win. Whereas I find it very, you know, and it's all opinionated, the sport is opinionated, but I find it's very, very difficult from a bikini perspective to choose your winners. And that's kind of what I find quite tough about the class. Because I think, you know, when it comes to bodybuilding, for example, you look on, it's very rare that it will be too subjective. Like if you've got a clear winner, you've got a clear winner. Mm. Whereas, you know, when it comes to bikini, you know, even if I think about this past weekend, we look at all of the gals that are in the overall, trying to pick a winner sometimes from that, you know, it's so, so difficult. And I think it leaves a lot of gals, good gals, disappointed, and maybe think that they're not necessarily good enough, but actually it's not that they're not good enough. It's just that what that specific judge is looking for on that day, you know, it can just be so different. You know, one day it's like, okay, they're looking for this X shape with some great shoulders. You know, are they looking for this really tight glute tie-in? You know, do they favor the more muscular gal? Do they not favor the more muscular gal? You know, and we're seeing those differences in some of the results that we're seeing in shows, whether it's abroad, whether it's in the UK, you're seeing a different pick for that criteria. Whereas when it comes to bodybuilding, you know, I would imagine the same guys that competed this weekend, you put them on the same stage next weekend in the same condition, you'd have the same winners. Mm. You know, sometimes I think for bikini, that's not necessarily the case. And also it's the most popular class at the moment. Like, let's face it, you go into shows now and there, you know, you're having some gals in some classes. I think this weekend there was a class that had 40 gals in. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't want to be judging that. You know, you would have seen someone and think they're great. And then if you see someone in the last lineup, like, how do you then decide who you think was better? You know, and that's what I think makes it quite difficult. So I think it's not that it's that I don't enjoy it or like the class. I just think it's kind of a little bit, not, I don't know if unfair is the right word, but I think there's some good gals that miss out on some placings that actually would deserve it any other day of the week, kind of thing.
I would say it's probably one of the most subjective classes.
It is the most subjective, without a doubt. I think a lot of the other classes, men's physique probably kind of falls near to that category, but a lot of the other classes, you're probably going to get a clear winner, where it's certainly a bit easier to pick the winner. You know, whereas if you look at bikini, and again, you know, when you think about condition is kind of a key part, you know, do we want to come in a little bit softer? Do you want to come in peeled? You know, and then, you know, if you come in soft in bodybuilding, you don't win.
Yeah.
So I think it's them differences between the classes that I think just makes it quite tough.
I agree. I think a lot of people will resonate with that as well, whether they are bikini athletes themselves and they've been in that position, or they are a coach listening and they've got bikini athletes, or even if they're just friends or in a relationship with a bikini girl. Like, we've all seen how tough it can be when you're just not what they want on that day.
Absolutely. And that is what it is. And you know, you can have scenarios where, you know, like I say, gals can come away and be like, I wasn't good enough today. Mm. And then a few weeks later, you know, they go and get a great placing. And I know why you're smiling, you know, because we had the same scenario with you. You know, we thought 2 weeks ago we maybe didn't meet the criteria, you know, and then actually, granted, you know, the gals that won were very good, but you know, it's like we go in 2 weeks later and we smashed it this weekend. So, you know, and whereas I think with my bodybuilding, that doesn't really happen too much. And I think that's probably a little bit of a frustration for me on the class.
Yeah. Interesting. So one of the kind of questions that I've been asking everyone that's come on this podcast in this series is about the biggest lesson that they've learned since they've started coaching.
Okay, that's an interesting question.
Hit me.
The toughest challenge.
The biggest lesson you've learned. So it doesn't have to be the most challenging, but one that you kind of come away from and you thought, oh, okay, that I didn't expect that, but I'm going to apply that. I'm going to go back, look at what we did, think about whether that was right or wrong, and next time I'm going to do it this differently.
That's a really tough question for me to think about on the spot. So I think one thing for me I think from what I've noticed this year, and actually I can't say necessarily that I have applied it yet to change it, but something that I know I'm definitely going to do differently as I go into the next competitive season, that I've noticed this year, and I've kind of got away with it, you know, and I'll openly admit this as I'm going to now, I've kind of got away with it with my placings, but the biggest thing for me that I've really noticed this year is I haven't left people long enough, which probably comes as a surprise to you, because as I said, because of my placings, but I have probably found myself this year in positions with guys where, guys and girls, where I'm kind of like 4 or 5 weeks out and I'm like looking and I'm like, okay, I'm behind. Like, how have I got to this point where I'm behind? I'm like thinking, okay, I left this amount of time and this was long enough. And then, you know, probably the last few weeks I've kind of had to dig deeper when I initially thought to myself, I've left you long enough. Mm. And, you know, I've kind of rectified it in the sense of probably towards the back end of a year. And as you know, from most people from 6 weeks out, I tend to get everyone checking in every day now. Mm. Because of just, I want that attention to detail. But I certainly think that's something that is definitely going to be a lesson for me going forward, in that I think I have not allowed long enough for people, or kind of underestimated, in the sense of that I think people will be a lot more responsive for a prep because we've had an off season than they've actually been. So like, I might have, you know, had the first two weeks of prep from an off season where I've kind of thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to drop your calories to this and we'll respond. I mean, like, okay, we haven't responded. That's a week. I mean, I'm like, okay, we'll make another drop. Okay, we haven't responded again. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, I've now just lost 2 weeks, because what I've not tried to do is I want to try and keep people's calories high so that, you know, over them, because the thing is, if you, as soon as you start cutting, you've got the next, whether that's 12, 14, 16 weeks after that, where that client is going to be in a deficit. Mm. So, you know, I always try and want to limit the initial drop from off season to allow us to kind of keep food in a fairly good position as we move through the rest of the process. And I've definitely found that this year, the guys that I've had where I've gone from off season straight into prep, that I've probably wasted the first 2 weeks because I've not made a big enough drop. Because, you know, I've watched their calories go up for off season. I'm like, your weight's not going up. Calories are going up. This is a good place to be in. You know, so I'm like, surely when we make the drop, we're going to start moving into a kind of a deficit, and that's not happened. Mm. So I've kind of ended up wasting 2, maybe 3 weeks at the start to get to the kind of that sweet spot, shall we say. And it's like, okay, so prep's actually started properly now, whereas then first 2 weeks I've kind of wasted. So that's probably something upon reflection for me as I move into next year that I think I just need to be more conscious of kind of going forward, I think. So I think on the spot, that's kind of what springs to mind.
On the topic of food, which I think is something that crops up in conversation with a lot of different people, is this: I'm going to get my food as high as I can in off season. It's essential that we do that. And then people are always striving to get off plan meals and refeeds and everything else like that. And I think it sometimes can sway people's choice when it comes to a coach.
I'm so glad you've just said this, because I feel in the industry now, we are in a position where people are actually choosing coaches because of what they see somebody post on Instagram. You know, I think you're seeing certain coaches being tagged in stuff where we are seeing, you know, weekly cheat meal, and you know, it's a picture of this big pizza, you know, and this cookie dough ice cream after, and I think it sways people. And for me, it's just so wrong. You know, I'm not, as you know yourself, I'm not a believer in kind of giving people cheat meals. You know, I'm definitely very open, and I believe people should be able to live their life, you know, in scenarios where, you know, if it's someone's birthday and they're 6 weeks out, absolutely, you're going to go and have a meal with your family, and we're going to make that happen. You know, in scenarios where it's kind of not really possible to not have an off-plan meal, you know, like I say, if it's birthdays or Mother's Days or, you know, anything like that, I believe we should have balance, and I'm definitely happy to accommodate in them scenarios. But allowing people to, what I personally would call binge on a weekly occurrence, I don't support. You know, I think it puts people in a position where actually from certainly from my experience, I think through prep, allowing people to have them cheat meals, I think actually increases the risk of eating disorders. And I think actually, and I'll try and keep this short and sweet, but one way I always explain with cheat meals is I think if you're having them when you're not in prep, so let's just say, you know, 2 weeks before you start prep, you have a burger and chips, you've been in your off season. Burger and chips, it's nice. You don't get massively excited about it, but you know, it's nice. So when you start prep, the last thought you have of that burger was, it was nice. It was all right. It wasn't nothing special. And the way I see it is, as you go through prep, the last image you have of that burger, or the last thought you have of that burger, is that it was just nice. If you are 8 weeks into a diet and you then go and have a burger and chips, it will taste incredible. I don't care what anyone says. That burger or that pizza or whatever you choose to have will taste incredible. Then you have got another 8-10 weeks of prep where your last thought of that burger is that it tasted incredible. And all you are going to do is continuously think about that burger. And I think it's a bad, I think it increases the risk of people going too far in that scenario. You know, if you've got your last thought of what this meal was, like, leave it there. Like, leave it there. You know, if people need to have refeeds and stuff, you know, if it's necessary, I'll give refeeds when they're necessary. And this is another thing that I'm starting to see in the industry now, which is a big frustration of mine, is that people put on their stories refeed day and they've got a picture of a pizza and 5 cookies and ice cream. That's not a refeed. That is a cheat meal, and it is a binge meal. That is, that is, let me see as much as I can eat in the space of an hour that I've been given by my coach. That's not a refeed. And I hear it as well, where people say, you know, people give refeeds to, or they say they're giving a refeed to slow somebody down. A refeed's not going to slow somebody down. The purpose of a refeed is to speed up weight loss. You know, if you're given a refeed, that is because your body's not responding. And in order for your body to start responding, you need a hell of a lot of carbohydrates to ensure that starts to happen. Mm. Where leptin levels are low, and we need, in order to increase them again, we need to put in carbohydrates. So, you know, you put that in, yeah, granted, you're going to gain weight the next day. 2 days later, you're going to be well low, you know, and I've seen it with you before. I do it with my clients frequently. Weight loss stalls, then we give the refeed. But I hear scenarios on people's stories and stuff where people are like, you know, yeah, I'm using a refeed because I'm coming in too quick. It's not a refeed. Like, that's not a refeed. It is a cheat meal. If your coach wants to slow you down and they give you a cheat meal, I'm on board with that. That's fine. You know, I've used it with some of my clients recently. I've got a guy who's doing men's physique in a couple of weeks.
Shout out Tristan.
I hope he does listen. He's coming in so fast from his last show, because he did a Mexico show not long ago. And he, from 3 or 4 weeks out, he's already at the weight he was in Mexico, and he's peeled. So I'm like, weekend, go and eat what you like. And I'm allowing you to do that. Yeah, granted, I know that kind of goes against what I just said about binging, but I also know he won't binge.
He won't.
No, he's not that kind of guy. But also, I need you to go and eat. Like, eat what you want, because I need to slow you down. Whereas if I just gave him carbohydrates, which is a refeed, it'll just come in quicker. Like, you know, that's the purpose of it. I think people get very, very confused between what these are and why they should be given. And what concerns me in the industry is when you're seeing coach says refeeds and they're eating a pizza. To me, that coach doesn't really, really know, or is not knowledgeable enough to know what the purpose of it is. And if they're calling it a refeed, they shouldn't call it a refeed, because it's a cheat meal. And that's definitely a big frustration of mine that I'm seeing at the moment. Just allowing people to just binge, like, for no reason, really. You know, and people crave it, but it doesn't mean they need to have it. Like, you're in prep.
I think, in my opinion, there's a lot of, the word binge gets thrown around a lot of the time, in my opinion, incorrectly. And eating disorders get thrown around. But I actually think what is everywhere is disordered eating, which, yeah, I do think comes from being a competitor. And then disordered eating can be when someone gets something, like they're told, go have an off-plan meal. And like you've said, they're going, right, I've got an off-plan meal. What can I get in, like, the space of an hour? So they go to a restaurant, they get 2-3 starters, they get a couple of mains. Then they're thinking, right, well, is there a creams nearby where I can bang in some cookie dough and some ice cream? And they're not just getting the cookie dough and the ice cream. They're taking maybe a Twix with them to bang on the top of it. And they're getting all the sauces and the toppings. And then they're crippled for 2-3 days. Yeah. And their digestive system's buggered. And then they end up having to put some assistance in to kind of speed things up again.
Yeah, and I think, Han, you just made a great point there as well, where this is another thing that, that really blows my mind. Digestion's a big topic at the moment. You know, see a lot of coaches posting about it. You know, I'm definitely on board. You know, it's very, very important. I'm definitely one for kind of making sure that's a priority. But what blows my mind is you've got all of these, you know, actually not all of these coaches, but certain coaches, and I don't actually have any particular names, and obviously I wouldn't mention them anyway, but you've got these coaches that are consistently talking on Instagram about how important digestion is. And then you've got their clients posting a burger and cookie dough. But you don't tell me that, you know, you can't have oats in your diet because you can't digest them, and then you should have cream of rice instead, when you allow your client to eat pizza and burger every weekend or whatever they want. Like, it just completely contradicts like what we're saying. Like, a pizza and burger, unless you are having it frequently, it is going to be poor for digestion. I don't think anyone can sit here and say that some, for people that don't eat that stuff regularly, if they go and eat a burger and chips and a cookie, their digestion will be good after. It won't. I don't care what digestive enzymes you take. I don't care what anything you take, it's never going to be good. And that's, again, another thing that should be taken into consideration. Like, you know, when you're allowing, people are allowing people to just, like you said, it's almost like, what can I fit on my plate? And also, you know, one thing I do think as well, like if you're a client, I think if your coach is going to give you time to have a cheat meal, like, come on, you're focusing on your goals, right? Your goal is to step on stage and you want to be the best you can possibly be. If your focus is on about how much you can eat in a sitting, you ain't driven enough on your goals. You're not that bothered about what you're going to do on stage. Like, if you are literally going to be at a point where you're just going to eat and eat and eat, like, you're really not that bothered.
I mean, I've definitely been, just to play devil's advocate, I've definitely been in situations where I have eaten a lot of food in a very short space of time on my own at home post show. And I've gone, oh my God, like out loud to myself, like an absolute head case. Oh my God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, leave the house. Don't take your purse with you, because you'll go to the shop and you'll buy something, and just leave the house.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't call that a binge, because I have a good understanding of what binge eating really is.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that, like I say, the term, oh, binged the other day, gets thrown around. And if anyone really understood what binge eating is as a disorder, then they wouldn't say that they'd had a binge. You had a pizza and some cookie dough, and then you banged 5 Mars bars. That's not a binge. That's you being gluttonous.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I'm sitting here saying, you know, about how people do this. I did it when I first competed 5 years ago. I got prepped by somebody that starved the life out of me. And I did it after. And I do think the more and more shows you do, the easier post show, not necessarily the easier post show becomes, but the less chance there is of you binging. Don't get me wrong, mentally you may find it harder, but you'll be mentally stronger.
You know what's coming, don't you?
Yeah, so absolutely.
You can prepare mentally for the fact that you are going to be very, very hungry, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Absolutely. And actually, do you know what? I do think the more you do it, the more, like I say, regimented and consistent you get, but actually probably the harder it gets as well. Like, you know, I remember my reverse post show this year. Like, don't get me wrong, I did nail it. I'm not gonna, but it wasn't easy. Like, there was days where I'm like, I've got no goal here. My goal is just to reverse diet. And I'm looking at this food and I'm like, oh, Josh, I really want to eat it. But I didn't. On reflection now, I'm so glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Because it's put me in a fantastic place. And I know I've done a lot of posts about reverse dieting and post show recently. But like, I'm so glad I didn't. Because actually the mental battle of trying to get your, when you're into an off season where you're already a little bit out of shape, there is nothing worse than starting an off season when you're out of shape already, because it's just a recipe for disaster. So it definitely is hard. I don't think it ever gets any easier. So what I said earlier was probably wrong. I don't think it gets any easier, but I think as individuals, we know the effect that it has the more and more we do it. So the more we don't do it, I think is my view, and I think you would agree with that based on your
experience. Yeah, 100%. Something I always say to new competitors is remember how terrible you felt the first time you did it.
Yeah.
Not just like how a lot of people feel guilt for doing it. I don't think they should, because it is a chemical imbalance. Your body is driving you to eat. Yeah. And it's about how you can physically control that urge. But I always say to people just how crap you felt, how sick you felt, how painful it was. And try and remember that the next time you think, I'm going to bang all this food, just remember how much discomfort you were in. And things like how much your joints hurt from holding water and
absolutely
and headaches and everything.
And I guarantee you ask anyone post-show that none of them enjoyed it.
No.
I tell you what it is. You come off stage at 5 o'clock, you enjoy it till 7 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock, you feel absolutely garbage and wish you never done it. And I can guarantee there is not one person that can challenge me on that. There is no way somebody can tell me that after post-show, they have eaten a hell of a lot more food than they should have, like, and not necessarily binging, but overeating, like we say, and gone to bed happy and satisfied. No way. It's uncomfortable. It's horrible. There is nothing enjoyable about it. The first two bites, like after stage, you know, that cookie that we all have after stage and that first meal we have after stage, we all enjoy. After that, it's just downhill from there.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Your face is swollen, your ankles are swollen. You know, you can't eat. I remember the first year I did it. I remember I was trying to walk across London Bridge the next day going to work. I couldn't even walk. My shins and my ankles were so swollen. It's not enjoyable. And, it's kind of, if any competitors are listening to this, like first time competitors, like genuinely try and take something away from this conversation. Yeah. Because you won't enjoy it as much as you feel you think you want it. Trust me, after you just won't want it, because the after effects that come with it are horrendous. And, you know, you
work it up in your head as well. You create this idea that this certain food that you want to eat is going to taste a certain way, and it won't taste as good as you. It never ever does.
I remember when we went 2019, when we both competed at Kent, and I remember we came back down to Brighton and we went to Seven Bone. Yeah. And we were both banging on about this Marmite burger.
Yeah. At that
time. Literally, it came out. I think we both had two mouthfuls.
Bites, yeah. Both
like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I do it every year. I always crave a burger. Every time I compete, I crave a burger. And not this time or the time before, but the two times before that, I've had it and I've not enjoyed it. And even this time around for prep, I craved a burger. And do you know what, Hannah? I don't even think I've had a takeaway burger still since the show. Because I crave it, but then I'm like, I get to it and I know I'm not going to enjoy it. So I just don't have it.
Yeah.
Because our cravings go wild. You know, we crave some of the craziest things. You know, Aston this year craved some pineapple on his chicken and rice.
Yeah.
You know, we crave the weirdest things that actually quite a lot of the time we just don't even want.
It's flavor for me that I always crave.
Yeah.
So this year I actually didn't have one single craving, which is mad. My food focus has been super, super low. But I always crave really flavorful foods.
Yeah.
So peanut butter, avocado, peppers, like Mexican food. It's all about that stuff that you put it in your mouth and you're filled with all these different spices and flavors and textures. And that's what I crave.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people will go, oh, some chips. But actually you have one chip and you go, that was nice. And then you've had the flavour and it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So true.
So on the topic of food, what's the funniest excuse you've ever had for someone deviating from their diet?
Oh, God.
There's got to have been a few for you.
I've had a lot of excuses in my time. I feel like I'm going to have to try and think of someone, but then I'm going to call them out and they're probably going to hate me for it. do you know what? I can't think of one particular. I do have some very unusual ones. Like, I, you know, still weekly now, you know, I get people that, you know, say, you know, oh, yeah, I had an off-plan meal on Saturday because, you know, I ran out of food. There was no food in the house. I'm like, okay, so go to the shop.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely had that one a few times, which is, it blows my mind. Yeah. Like, I really, really struggle actually with this. To give sympathy to people. Because I'm like, you know, okay, granted, I'll admit, you know, everyone's seen the cinnamon swirl on your Instagram, so I can't really get away from that after this.
That was, I mean, I did force that on you. I think I asked you 6-7 times before you ate it.
Yeah, and you know,
eat that yet?
I definitely wasn't perfect with my diet this weekend, but you know, I was still pretty consistent with it. You know, I've come back yesterday and I weighed myself today. My weight's exactly the same as before I left, and I still look how I look. You know, but if I can go away for a weekend and still consistently stick to my diet, you know, there's no reason why somebody in their local hometown can't stick to it. So, you know, that's definitely a common one for me. Do you know the best one I love is when people message me and they're like, I'm really stressing about this weekend. I'm like, okay, like, why are you stressing? They're like, well, because I've got a meal out on Saturday and I'm really, really stressing about it. I'm like, okay, well, don't stress. Like, you know, let's have a look at your diet for the day. And then I'm like, I just, you know, I really don't want to deviate from the plan. Like, I really want to stay on track with it. You know, they're consistent, really talking about being how consistent they want to be. And then I'm like, okay, well, look, let's for your day. Like, we know if you go out somewhere, you're going to have a lot of fats in whatever you eat. So let's just take your fats out for the day, combine a couple of meals, you know, and we should be safe, you know, choose something sensible on the menu. They're like, yeah, cool, right, perfect. That makes me feel a lot better. Then gets to the check-in. I'm like, okay, what did you have on Saturday? They're like, yep, I had this for starter, I had garlic bread, I had calamari, I had this for starter, and I had a burger, I had chips and a dessert. And it's like, what? Like, you literally have been telling me, like, and that it annoys me because I'm like, you know, you've wasted my time. Like, I've basically tried to help you damage control.
Yeah.
And you say you're not going to do it. And then, like, you know, all of a sudden, then, like, you've literally eaten everything you put, like we said earlier, as much as you could get on your plate when you said you didn't want to deviate from it and you're stressing about it. And it's like, what? Like, that's one that just, it blows my mind. And like, I had a scenario recently, actually, where somebody's booked to do a photo shoot and they're like, yeah, like, consistently, I'm on it. I'm like, cool. And then I get a text the week after, like, oh yeah, mate, I had eight pints of beer on the weekend. I'm like, what, I just don't get it. Like,
when it got to 5, did you not think maybe, yeah, I should stop?
Like, when we've had a conversation about it before and we've said stick to spirits, like, did that just go over your head? You know, and like I said to you at the start, I'm all about people having some balance, but, like, you know, I'm not gonna accept you moaning about something that you have put yourself into. And I think actually that I'm kind of getting a bit of deja vu, because I think we've had a similar conversation like about this before, but it's like, you just don't, like, I've got no sympathy for you. Like, if you're unhappy the fact that you've now gained a kilo, I've got no sympathy for you, because you have purposely gone out your way. That you didn't, granted, you can still go and enjoy yourself and choose a main. Like, you can still do that. You don't have to have a starter. You don't have to have a massive main. You definitely don't have to have dessert. Mm. You know, and it's just like, that's probably, like, I would say, in terms of the question, like, you know, I can't think of a specific excuse, but definitely those kind of examples for me are the ones that I'm just like, what?
Like, I don't know what happened. I just ate loads of food. It was an accident.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I really struggle to sympathize sometimes in them kind of scenarios. Mm.
So thinking about all your experiences as a coach, then, going back in time, if you could, what advice would you give your younger self when you started coaching?
Oh, Hannah, really put me on the spot with you, didn't you? I like to think that I've kind of made some very good choices as I've kind of gone through. And I do get a lot of, you know, I'm more than happy to help other coaches all the time. And I get a lot of people kind of asking me for help and stuff now. And I think what I did, I probably wouldn't do now, or kind of how I worked, I wouldn't do now. And I think I kind of got, I wouldn't say I necessarily got lucky, but I think I kind of started coaching at the right time. I think it's a very, very saturated market now, that I think is very, very difficult. What do I think I would have done differently?
What advice would you give your younger self? Or even an, excuse me, sorry, even a new coach coming into the industry, what advice would you give them?
So I think, like, there's too many people in the industry now that are not knowledgeable enough to be coaching people. I think, is my first star. Because, you know, I'm hearing some absolute horror stories about coaches giving advice or helping people with diets. Because, you know, I've seen examples where people think because they've done a show, they can now online coach people. So, you know, I think actually, I probably, if I was to start again, or if I was to give advice for other coaches, I would definitely make sure that I'm actually knowledgeable on what I'm doing and confident in the advice that I'm giving. I think, you know, there is a lot, there is definitely, I think one of the biggest things that, or problems that I see right now is women's health.
It's massive.
It's, you know, I'm hearing too many horror stories. Like, I'm literally taking on girls left, right and center right now that have not had periods for weeks, months, some even years. You know, if you are not clued up enough to understand how the woman's body works, do not coach girls or do not give advice on it. So, you know, definitely, I think I probably wish I had have learnt more on it. But I think probably I never expected myself to fall into coaching the way I have. Like, I would actually say I do coach more girls than I coach boys.
Yeah.
I never expected that. I genuinely never, ever expected that to be the case. So, you know, I think if there's other people that are listening out there, I definitely, you know, don't think that you're necessarily going to follow a particular market, because you just won't, or what you think you're going to do, unless you're set on what you want to do. Like, I didn't say I want to coach men. I just want to help people. That was my passion. That was my view. So definitely making sure that you are knowledgeable and understand that the implications of what you're doing, like what implications you're doing, what it could have on people. Because, you know, I don't mean to be too deep, but it can ruin people's lives. You know, you need to be so careful with what you're doing. You know, and unfortunately, I think there's a lot of coaches out there right now that actually look at people as a number rather than as a person. And it's sad to see. That is really sad to see, because, you know, you need to care and look after these people. So I think upon reflection, I would definitely want to be learning more about the woman's body. I think is something I would definitely put a lot more focus into. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that I would add to that. I'd probably get better at social media. Talking in front of the camera. Something I've never really kind of ever again thought that I'd probably be doing, but just being more confident in that aspect, certainly.
I like getting the outtakes, personally.
Yeah, there's some funny ones. We won't share those, though, because me being very rude at the camera. not that the camera's actually done anything wrong in that scenario. Yeah, definitely heavily use of the C word there. I think, you know, you need to be confident, you need to get yourself out there. But I think that's something that I definitely can still be better at. I think because of kind of how busy I am, I'm probably a bit slack on it. But as a coach, like, I, you know, people didn't really, it was kind of like people knew me but didn't know AMP, or people that followed AMP didn't know me. And I think even now, you know, if we use you for example, a lot of people on your Instagram will know who I am, but they won't know that I'm linked to AMP. So
when I get asked who my coach is, I say Jake Watts, and they go, yeah. And I go, Amplified Nutrition. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, Amplified. Jake started Amplified. And they're like, oh, okay.
And I think that's because I don't get myself out there enough. So I think, you know, definitely something I'd look back on is kind of build yourself as a brand. You know, what I've done is, and I don't think it's done me anything wrong, but I've built myself. You know, and when people know that that's my brand, it's like, okay, yeah, you know, Amplified Jake, you know, and that's how people, you know, kind of look at that. But for me, I probably haven't got myself out there enough to kind of be known. So I think probably you're just starting to build. I would have definitely kind of, if I started again, just built that kind of personal brand from the start.
And we've talked about lots of things about how the categories you like, but also potentially the athletes that you attract, or not just athletes but general people that are looking to improve their life and health, who you attract. But if you could coach anyone alive or dead, who would it be and why?
That's such an interesting question.
Anyone. It doesn't even have to be a a fitness person. It could be like a movie star for a role. It could be anything, but like, why them?
Such a random question. Have you asked the other coaches this?
Yes.
What do some of them say? I'm just intrigued.
Oh, I see. You don't even listen to my podcast. Dear. It's all just happened live.
Yeah, what did some of the others say? I'm really intrigued anyway. Well, I'll just have a think.
Some people have said about bodybuilders that have passed away.
Yeah.
That they would have loved to have worked with, or they think that they could potentially have improved their physique or given them that placing or taken them to the O. Other people have said that they scroll down Instagram and they think, well, that person, if I could get my hands on them, I could do something with them. They haven't named. And then other people have just said, like, I have no preference over who I work with as long as the person I work with, we work well together.
Yeah. Okay. So do you know what I think, as we've just kind of spoke about a thought about what I think, I would actually, and to be honest with you, it wouldn't have to be any one of them in particular, actually. I would choose somebody who's won an Olympia. And the reason for that is what I would like to be able to do is see if I could prep them just as well as they've done. So, you know, say, for example, you know, like, let's just say Rami won the Olympia this year. I would love the opportunity to be able to prep him next year. Because what I would like to be able to do is be like, okay, let's put this to the test. Can I make you better than last year? Because what I always say, and I still stand by this, like, there is definitely more knowledgeable coaches out there in the industry. Absolutely. And I will always say that there is people that are way, way, way more knowledgeable than me. But it doesn't necessarily mean they are better than me. I've always said, with some knowledge, to me, experience beats knowledge. And people may disagree with that. I think experience always beats knowledge, because I think you can be the most knowledgeable guy in the world if you've never put it into practice. You know.
The other thing is, some things work in theory on paper, and then actually when it comes to it, like we've seen, I mean, dropping food, people's weight going up. Then we've had in the past where we've stopped a dieting phase because it's not working, and I've had a cookie deal a cookie and lost weight.
Yeah.
It makes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you could get, you know, you could take, I don't know, you could take the builder and designer of the McLaren, the Mercedes race car. Mm-hmm. He knows that car inside out. He knows every detail. He knows how it should be driven, how fast it can go, what the best way is to change gears, blah, 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 blah. Could he drive it better than Lewis Hamilton? No. And the reason for that is because Lewis Hamilton's got experience.
Yes.
He hasn't got the knowledge of how he's built that car. The other guy's got the knowledge, but he's got some knowledge with the experience of driving it. And that's kind of how I think the coaching is. Not necessarily, but in a lot of cases, I think if you've got some knowledge, experience, in my opinion, will beat that. And I think, I think I could prep someone for an Olympia? Absolutely. You know, getting someone peeled is getting someone peeled. Yeah, don't get me wrong, like you just said, everyone's different. But what I think, one of my biggest frustrations in the industry, and it's, you could say it kind of is my fault, but kind of not, is people go, like, you've got coaches out there that are banging out placings like no tomorrow. So people assume they're the best. So people go to them for that reason. When actually there's plenty of other coaches out there that could do the same job, if not a better job. But the reasons that they don't necessarily get the clients is because they're not given the opportunity. You know, and I think that's, it's a frustration in mine, and I'm probably in a good position. You know, I like to think that, I mean, I'm on your podcast, so surely that makes me one of the top coaches, right?
Yeah.
But no, jokes aside, you know, there is guys out there now that will be online coaching that probably put two or three people on stage a year that probably could do just as good, if not better job than me and all the other best coaches that are around. But it's just because maybe their social media isn't the best, or they don't get themselves out there enough, or they're just not given the opportunity. You know, and that's kind of the thing that I find a little bit frustrating, and it's not unfair, because that's just the way the world is, right? Mm. But, you know, there was someone recently who I had a consultation with, and I kind of followed up a couple of days after and just said, you know, what's your thoughts? And she said, I want to speak to muscle mentor, speak to Callum and speak to Rob. You know, absolutely fine. You know, and do I think Cal and Rob are more knowledgeable than me? Absolutely, without a doubt. Do I think that they can get people in better shape than me? That's questionable. Yeah, you know, could I get someone, one of Rob's clients, in the same shape that he does? I don't see why not. You know, maybe I might do it better, maybe I might do it worse, maybe I might do it the same. But in them scenarios, it's then like, okay, so now I'm in a position where it's me against Rob and me against Cal. That, you know, my results are fantastic, their results are better, but they've got more clients, they've been doing it longer. You know that, you know, Cal, for example, coaches a lot of guys who, you know, have got a massive following, you know, so he gets himself out there, you know, it's great, and Cal's got loads of followers and stuff, you know, it's amazing. And they're both fantastic coaches. You know, I was chatting to Rob loads at the weekend, but that's the kind of thing that I think is quite difficult in the industry, is when you've got them two guys, for example, smashing out placings left, right and centre, all of the other guys, you know, people even will probably think the same about me, you know, Jake gets all of his clients, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm better. So I think, just kind of coming back to the question, I would actually put it as like a test for me, because it's like, okay, how good am I? You know, yeah. Can I bring in a 300-pound guy in off-season peeled, you know? People always say, you know, a lot of the time you hear people say, he was a little bit off today. So could I actually bring it in? So I'd use it as, I think, as a test for me. So specifics doesn't really matter. An Olympia winner, someone that's, you know, brings the money, I think would be my choice actually in that scenario, just to test myself really.
Interesting way to look at it. And a couple of questions I ask everyone that comes to the podcast. I understand that I've had nearly an hour of your time. You're a very busy man.
That's so good. I'm enjoying it.
Looking not like back,
I haven't seen you for a while, have I?
Very sick of the sight of me.
No comment.
Looking back over your entire life to date, is there anything that you'd go back and do differently if you could?
Cool. Han, you're throwing these at me tonight.
This is why my podcast is so successful, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, definitely put me on the spot. Without going too deep on this, I probably look back and do I ever think I would be in the position I'm in now? I don't, is the honest answer. So what I probably find a little bit difficult about that question is that I still amaze myself every day in the position that I'm in. You know, and grateful for the fact that I'm here, and I know, you know, as you know, I work hard to be here, but never did I ever imagine that my life would be like this or I would be in this position. So for me to probably like try and sit and think, would I do anything differently, I find this quite tough, because I feel like we all make mistakes, but I don't feel like I've made any mistakes that have jeopardized my future. I definitely wish I'd have got into coaching and bodybuilding a bit earlier. It's definitely kind of the thing for me, because what I've established over the years is I love coaching. Don't get me wrong, it has its frustrations like every job, but yeah. I have a real, real passion for helping people, and got to try and not well up here, but you've seen it. You saw me this weekend, you know, as soon as you come off stage, like, I was basically crying, and I had to get away from you because I started crying, you know. And I was actually speaking to, hopefully she'll listen, I spoke to Becky today, and she was like, I can really see how much you care. And I do, you know, you saw it with Aston, for example. You know, I literally ran up to him and hugged him, like, and I literally love it. There's nothing better than seeing people do well, and that is what my driver is. Like, my driver isn't to earn more money. My drivers are not based on that. And like, actually, again, I remember 2 years ago, I set these goals. I'm not going to talk about the numbers, but I set these goals of, I wanted to have this many clients and I wanted to earn this amount of money. And when you set a goal, when you reach that goal, it should feel amazing. You should feel something when you hit goals, because they're there for a reason. And you should feel some kind of, you know, passion, success, you should feel something from that goal. And those two goals, when I got to them and hit them, it gave me nothing. It literally gave me nothing. And I was like, okay, what's wrong here? And then kind of taking some time to kind of reflect on them goals, them numbers meant nothing. That's not my goal. My goal is actually I want to help as many people as I can. Ultimately, I'm without being to change their life. You know, not just from a competitor's perspective, but lifestyle. You know, I've got one guy today, he's lost 8 stone. That is life changing. And the success, you know, the gratitude that I get from people, it literally just fills me with joy to get them messages. You know, when you put posts up, you know, when all of my guys after show puts posts up to say thank you, like, that is why I do what I do. The money that comes with it is a bonus. It's a bonus that it allows me to eat, do what I want, you know, in life. But my passion is why I do what I do. So I think coming back to your earlier question is I would definitely have started coaching earlier. You know, we've spoken about maybe how I might have done things differently, but I definitely would reflect back on my life and wish I'd started earlier, because the sense of gratitude and passion that I get from it is what I love. And I think you should always do what you love. And if you are in a job or in something that you don't get any passion out of or any enjoyment out of, to me, it's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And that's the best, I think, my reflection is that I think I would definitely have started doing something that I love earlier, because I think it would have just made my life even better, I think.
And last but not least, you are Jake Watts, Amplified Nutrition co-founder, head coach. You are, well, you have a day job as well as doing this, and you are one of my best friends. But how do you want to be remembered?
God. Do you know what? How do I want to be remembered? One thing that I say to a lot of people is that I pride myself on the relationship I have with my clients and my team. People, you know, it kind of links back to what we just said. People, and they're not numbers to me. I care about every single one of them people that I coach. You are there because I want to help you. And I just want to, I would like to be remembered as the person that just cares about people, is there to help people. Like, the way I see it is everyone deserves to be successful in life. Everyone deserves to be happy in life. Everyone deserves to achieve what they want to achieve. And I said this earlier as well, like, you know, I get people that are starting out coaching and they're like, you know, they ask me for advice. I will help you. There is enough out there for everyone. Like, I will give you advice. I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what, I think I would do differently or whatever, because there's enough for everyone. So I think for me, I just want to be remembered as somebody who just cares about everyone and is there to help people. I think
if anyone was to speak to any of your clients, that would be the takeaway, is that you actually do care. And I know that I'm biased, but at the same time, I genuinely think you could pick a name out of a hat and they would all say the same thing, like, you actually give a shit about people.
I would like to think so. It's what I pride myself on. You know, I like to build a relationship with people. Like, you know, if you're part of my team, yeah, okay, you do pay me money, but you're part of my team. Like, you know, I think people are like, oh, you went to Denmark this weekend. Absolutely. Like, you know, I'll go wherever I have to go. And that's not because I feel I need to. That's because you're part of my team. If you're in my circle, you're in my circle. And that is just something that I always say I pride myself on, is that every single one of my clients, I will do my best to build a personal relationship with you. Like, when I'm saying to you, how's your weekend? I want to know how your weekend was. Did you have a good weekend? Like, it's not about, you know, I don't want you to fill in a check-in sheet that says, how was this? How, like, I want to have a conversation with you because I want to build a relationship with you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I like to say I pride myself on. It's very rare that I lose clients. I don't really know of any client I've ever lost because they was unhappy with the service that I provided. And if I ever get anyone that does leave, I always ask them why. And if there's any, I always ask for feedback and if there's anything I could have done differently. And again, I think that is reflected in my clientele and my retention. You know, I've got guys and gals like yourself that have been with me for years, 2 years, 3 years. You don't hear that. That's not the only thing. You know, I hear people coach hopping all the time. Pretty much, if you come to me, you will stay with me.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because I will give you the best I can. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, again, I will always ask why it hasn't worked.
Lovely. Right. Very lovely. I am conscious of time, and I am so appreciative for you making the time to join me on this today.
Just join you, or what about the 4 days in Denmark?
For the 4 years, I appreciate everything you do for me. You know that.
Absolutely.
So if anyone doesn't know where to find you, where can they hit you up?
So I'm going to give the business Instagram. So my business Instagram is @amplified_nutrition. My personal Instagram is JakeWatts_amp, which I do still use for my fitness stuff as well. But that's where you can find me, and probably all over Hannah's Instagram as well, actually.
And if someone wanted to talk to you about coming on board with Amplified, how would they do that?
Drop me a DM and we'll have a chat. I'll always have a chat with people over the phone, just get to know people, get to understand what's going on, and then get cracking.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for being the best and the last of
Mind the Professionals. No problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.